Welcome to the InfoTalk podcast with Don McDonald, the Vice President General Manager of Intel's Home Division, which is the division that handles the Intel Vive chipset and all the new digital stuff for entertainment, infotainment. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Vive was announced at CES. We were there. PodTech was covering it. And Vive was introduced about as an entertainment platform. We're here at the Intel Developer Forum. You guys don't announce products. You announce technologies. Intel's redefining itself. New process, new platform, new products. You're moving more and more to an integrated consumer model. Talk about what you're developing and what technologies that you're looking at.
Sure. Well, there's so many things that have changed within Intel. The first is we really have got our developers and our technicians and architects focusing on developing solutions to things that consumers care about. So we have a huge ethnographic population here. They look at people. Our architects, engineers identify what do consumers care about, and then we develop technologies that enable people to bring products to market. Now, for example, one of the biggest ones is our Vive platform. Vive, in its simplest form, is the best consumer PC on the market, but it was designed from the ground up to deliver a better entertainment experience. So technically, under the hood, there's three chips, a CPU, a chipset, and some networking silicon, and about a million lines of code. And what they're supposed to do is to make it deliver these new entertainment experiences, but make it very easy to use and make it very simple to connect to all your other digital devices in and around the home.
So Vive was announced at CES. Consumers at the digital home have experiences with Intel, with Wi-Fi, with the processor, and now they see Intel introducing new technologies. Talk about Vive, what it's meant to be, and what it is. Explain for the average user out there what it is.
Simply put, Vive was intended to really address what we think, and just this podcast alone supports, is a whole new way of acquiring and managing your content. The world's gone digital. Your iPod, your digital television, your PC, obviously, things that we now take for granted. That means that every device is digital, and all the content that flows between those devices is digital. So Vive was designed to be the link between all those devices sharing content. So, for example, you can have a Vive consumer PC that may be in the bedroom, but it's acquiring content from MovieLink or from Eros or from Clickstar or from many of our content partners through the PC and the internet. But it may actually display it on a television screen. So for the consumer, it's a very comfortable experience. You acquire, manage, and enjoy your content in much the same way as you would with, say, your satellite broadcast or your cable broadcast. It's just that you have a much broader range of content because you're now using all the other devices in your home and the internet to deliver that content, and you get to choose. So the consumer has more choice, but your experience is dead simple. It's very, very easy to use.
And you guys are enabling a better user interface. What you're saying is that as more devices come onto the home, with all the devices embedded within Vive, with the understanding that it's all integrated together, is that what you're saying, that it's all integrated together?
Exactly. So let me give you an example to illustrate the point. When you set up a Vive network, first of all, that's an arduous task for most consumers. In fact, if you go to Best Buy and others, they'll charge you $160 to send somebody around to set up a wireless secure network, with the emphasis on secure. With Vive, it focuses on easy setup. So in less than 5 minutes, that's our current record. We're actually going to have the challenge on stage later today at the Intel Developer Forum. 4 minutes and 40 seconds is the best time we've done to unpack a box, connect all the wires, and then connect wirelessly to another device. So that's less than 5 minutes. But it's even more than that. So, for example, if you have a combination of content you've procured from a premium content channel, or maybe your camcorder content, what Vive will do is simply say, the fact that it's on your PC is DVAVI format. Most consumers have got no idea what that format means. And the fact that your LG television requires MPEG-2 format, most consumers have got no idea what MPEG-2 means. If you click with Vive and say, please play the kid's soccer video, it will convert it. It won't change the base file, but as it streams from your Vive PC to that television, it will convert it to MPEG-2 automatically with no user intervention. Similarly, in the case of your household, once you have a Vive PC set up, once you allow and give permission to those notebooks from your children and the rest of your family members, the Vive PC will basically go onto the hard disks, if you give it permission to, and find that Green Day video or the AOL music videos you've previously downloaded. And so Vive will aggregate all the content. You don't have to say, where did I leave that music video or that piece of content or that piece of music, it will aggregate, find it, and make it very simple for you just to serve it up very, very easily. You don't need to be a double engineering degree to make this stuff work.
Let me see if I can break this down. The old days, Intel had chips, kind of a PC model. Now you're connecting an internet media component model.
Correct. I mean, we are basically a semiconductor company. That's how we get paid. And so we continue to develop the world's best semiconductor. Our dual-core processors are a great example. In fact, we're demonstrating some Vive PCs on stage that contain the highest performing dual-core processors, but the heat of the system is actually cooler than a child's nightlight. And so the high performance at very low powers is very consumer-friendly. So all the chip technology is absolutely necessary, and we continue to do that. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Consumers are absolutely frustrated and sick and tired of technology that doesn't work. And so we've had to step up, look at it from the view of the consumer, and say, we provide and get paid for the great chip technology, but we also have to be the glue. So think of it as a virtual manufacturing system. You need to have the comfort to say that it doesn't matter that I'm now talking about brand A television from the consumer industry. I'm talking about brand B router or switch from the communications industry, or brand C PC from the PC industry, and brand D content and service from the entertainment industry. These are four disparate industries with products and solutions that are based on standards, if you're lucky, or even no standards. And so our goal is to make them all play nicely together. So the chips will sell if people have an experience they value, and that means bringing all these industries together. And that's why we have a Vive program with a brand, so you can tell which members of each of those industries are working together to make it easier for you, the consumers.
Let's talk about branding. In the computer industry, applications ran on the hardware. Hardware runs on your chips. Users are used to seeing the Intel brand in PCs. Now they see it on laptops at Wi-Fi hotspots. That talks about the Intel quality and reliability. Is there going to be a Vive logo on TVs? Talk about, for consumers, what that symbolizes and how it's going to be branded.
First of all, the simple answer is yes, there will be a Vive, Enjoy with Vive logo. And just to make sure your listeners are very clear on what this is and what this is not. First of all, we give this logo to people who have no Intel silicon in their devices. The objective is to show people a very shorthand way of saying these devices were designed to work together. The second thing is we don't charge for this service. It really is intended to make sure that Intel and our fellow travelers in the industry find problems so consumers don't have to. So what that means is we spend tens of millions of dollars, literally hundreds and hundreds of people years, testing those televisions, those set-top boxes, those routers, those PCs, that networking equipment, so that we make it very, very easy for you just to get on and enjoy your content. That's really what it's about at the end of the day. And so you can expect to see a television with a little simple logo that says Enjoy with Vive. Behind the scenes, what we've done is we've worked with people like LG. We've worked with people like Linksys. We've worked with people like Dell or Lenovo or whoever it might be to say that all the code that is required in the server part of this equation is also has the corresponding design in the client side, whether that's a television, a set-top box, or a router. So basically we'll say, hey, I'm a Vive device, I'm a device device. Let's connect together, let's share the content very simply. I'll give you some real simple examples. Today, if you downloaded a content service from, say, MovieLink or any of the content services with a non-Vive PC, you would download it onto the PC in the bedroom, which may be connected to the internet. Downstairs, you're trying to watch it on the television with your remote control. It's connected through the network. Well, what you have to do today is go back upstairs to the PC, go into the media server, right-click, tell it, hey, please add this content library to my service, share it, find the file, share the file, refresh, and then a few minutes later you can go back downstairs and use your remote control on the TV. That's nonsense. With Vive, what will happen is you use a remote control, so you've already set up your wireless network in less than 5 minutes securely, and now you get your content. So your content is designed to run on this platform. You click it, it downloads, it automatically populates without you doing anything to say, of course, if you're in the kitchen, if you're in the living room, if you're in another bedroom, I can access that content through my remote control. I don't want to take additional steps. Or the support for the formats, or the support for things like instant on-off. The PC upstairs may be off. But if that's basically your server to get content when you're watching it on TV downstairs, you're able to access that content even though the PC in the bedroom is, quote, off, unquote. And so it's been designed with consumers in mind. Just get your content, make it simple.
One of the themes here is that IP is dominating. As communication protocol, IP is the interactive standard, but it's not trivial. You get voice over IP, IPTV, et cetera. Talk about two things. How complicated IP is to to make it easy for end users? How complicated is it IP to make easy for end users? And two, how are users who are used to the high quality broadcast TV model understand this model?
Well, first of all, ease of use and simple connectivity are two of the three vectors for the Vive platform. And that means many, many things depending on which devices you're connecting. The good news is pretty much all the devices and the content is digital. The bad news is that doesn't mean it works. In fact, if you just cast your mind back to the days of Bluetooth, everything was based on standards. That didn't mean that things worked together. And that's why on the brand, to go back to the earlier comment, everything is based on standards, but you have to do a whole lot more. Standards are necessary, but absolutely not sufficient in this case either. And so what we do is we go with the various providers, whether it's another device or a service or a content provider, and we basically make sure that there are common protocols that we use, the way that they introduce, the way that they connect, the way that they share information over and above those standards, whether it's 802.11 or whether it's Ethernet, whatever it might be. And basically, there's no glamorous way of describing this. This is just sheer hard grunt work, but somebody has to do it. Because nearly everybody you've described has been in a silo. There's the CE industry is very vertically organized and very proprietary.
It's a whole new entertainment information model.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a lot of innovation, a lot of technology. You're working with Hollywood. You've been at Sundance. You go into Cannes. I mean,
well, most of those were going there because they're just great places to go to. But there is actually a work purpose behind them as well. But, you know, well, first of all, I think what you're describing really is the Intel philosophy. It's not just a fad or a fashion. I think what we're seeing, and I think Intel recognized this very early on, is that we're on the cusp of a whole new entertainment industry. And without being too grandiose about this, we've actually analyzed every media industry in history over the last 100 years. And our philosophy is that if you can detect a change in four areas, you are on the cusp of a whole new industry, not just a mere fad or fashion. And those four areas are a new technology. That new technology spawns new types of content. That new type of content requires a new distribution. And generally, it requires a playback device. So, for example, go back to the beginning of the century, things like amplitude modulation was the new technology. That new technology spawned content, news broadcasts, and then maybe back in 26... was the very first heavyweight boxing championship of the world. So it spawned into the broadcast of a heavyweight boxing in that case. The distribution was the airwaves, and the playback device was the radio. Now look at what we're doing here. Then you say there is a new technology. It's digital technology. There's new types of content. Everything we're talking about, it can be a version of Web 2.0. It doesn't have to be a big behemoth deciding what content you get. So distribution methodology is the internet. And then the playback device is any digital device, your iPod, your Centrina notebook, your Vive PC, your digital television, etc. And so this really is a whole new industry. And that's why we're so passionate about this. And that's why you now see us beginning to work with content partners to basically make sure that we provide a world of verified Vive content, services, and devices. We don't do the content. We don't do those devices. But we have to step up and make sure that this world is simple to connect so you can enjoy the opportunities of these new technologies. In the past, you looked at radio, and it might be political or social consequences of having radio during multiple world wars. Here we're talking about educating, advancing each other, having a better escape, entertainment, music, planning, reliving holidays. So it's just as valuable, it's just as wonderful, but it has to work together, and that's what Vive intends to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole shift here. Intel's always been known as the brains behind the PC, the application. And Vive is now the brains behind entertainment content. People are now consuming new content from all types of new content. So there's a new type of content developer. Talk about developers, the technical developer and the content developer. It's a new model. Talk about that.
Well, let me start with the content first, and then I'll show you the opportunities for developers. So first of all, the very simple philosophy is that with the new technology that Vive epitomizes, you basically make it a lot easier to match content owners or content distributors with content consumers. So whether it's the latest PodTech broadcast on a new piece of technology, whether it's that new movie, whether it's an independent film, you make it easier to reach people. And as you point out, you're no longer limited by the aggregation of audiences. If you wanted a new movie, you would have to find sufficient people. So a theater owner in San Francisco here would say, hey, can I get 200 people or more each night? And if I do, I might consider putting this movie in my theater. So now you have the opportunity of saying, hey, if I do a film that's based on, say, England winning the World Cup or something, the audience may be distributed around the world, but you don't need to find them. You can find two here, 50 there, 20 there. So you're making it cheaper, easier, and faster to get your content to people who want it, and they don't all have to be in the one location. So I think the content, the services and so on are easier, cheaper, and much, much faster. Like you said, it's time shifted, it's not dependent on geographies, it's not dependent on a big entity somewhere saying, you get to broadcast your PodTech or you don't get to broadcast your PodTech. You get to decide.
So is it standards-based? Is there a developer kit?
There is, yeah. So basically on the services that run on Vive, there's a 65-page what we call CISPR document. And that basically gives you the protocols and the frameworks for saying in a consistent, well-organized architecture for the way that you present it. For example, if you're going to show a video on your Vive PC or deliver it to Vive owners around the world, it's not up to us to say what content that is. That's obviously what the content owner decides. Yeah. But what does make it simple is that if you're sitting in front of a television with a remote control, you really don't want to have lots of keyboard entry. Yeah. And so there's some practical ways to simply do point and click to design something for a 10-foot user interface. Correct. And then there's also things in terms of the work we do on the PC to say, if you're downstairs in the kitchen, the example I gave earlier, if you're downstairs in the kitchen with a wirelessly connected television screen, there are things that we do on the PC industry to say when you download and click the PodTech broadcast that you don't have to go and do 2, 3, 4, 5 other steps. It just appears either streaming the podcast or indeed the video or whatever it might be. So that's what we do with the content. On the developer side, there's so many things that we're going to introduce developers to here. First of all, on the hardware side, with the dual core and the multi-core technology, you can now develop systems that look great in a living room. You can make these more affordable. You can make these more available, more ubiquitous to a worldwide audience for cost, for features. There's an example we have where today, if you're trying to find your content, finding content is a big challenge. It's going to be one of the next frontiers for success. So we use voice. And so in the remote control, there's been a great battle between a little bit of poking at each other between Microsoft MCE, between Steve Jobs on the video iPod. Is it 60 buttons? Is it 6 buttons? We have an example on stage today where it's no buttons. I just simply say, find my SpongeBob video. And it has this concept we call always best connected. Go find the SpongeBob video. Is it going to be on your broadcast channel? Is it on your hard disk drive? Is it on another notebook in the house? Is it actually on your library of copied formats, etc.? And so you can use voice. So for developers who are used to developing, say, user interfaces, it can be visual. It can be, obviously, audio. And so we're basically encouraging people to focus on ease of use, simple connectivity, new devices and new applications that have never been run before. Just the very fact that the PodTech exists is testimony to the fact that you don't have to live in the past. And so at Intel, our technology has been designed to what we call creating new experiences by, you know, essentially creating the new normal. What you're doing is a new normal. In a year or two, the PodTech discussion will be, of course you do this. Right now and last year, it's a ridiculous idea. So creating the new normal is what the developer forum is all about. Hardware, software, applications, and obviously Intel technology is the foundation for that innovation.
We're here with Don McDonald, who's the Vice President and General Manager at the Intel Home Group. Final question. What's going to be different 5 years from now in technology and the digital home?
Well, you know, one of the fun parts of my job is that we're absolutely hopeless at predicting the future. The nice thing about it is that we know that technology has a role. I think you'll see improvements on, certainly on my side of the house, you'll see more Intel silicon in new devices such as TVs, set-top boxes, as well as obviously the PCs that you know and love. But I don't think they'll look anything like the PCs that we've come. I think you'll have wearable PCs, not just mobile PCs. I also think that the experiences we have are really where the developers can just let their creativity loose. We focused a great deal today on entertainment, music, movies, etc. But look at the other opportunities on things people care about, advancement, education, running a small business from home, or perhaps control. How do I do home control and automation in a simple, practical way, perhaps to save power bills or to make my security better? Or perhaps health and wellness, that's my personal favorite, is how can you actually have, in a world where we spend more gross domestic product on a massively aging population, how can we make technology work to give a better life to people without spending a fortune? So for those kind of 4 or 5 examples I gave, I think that's where the battleground will be to allow people's creativity to expand way beyond just entertainment, but use all the technology that our technologists are coming up with and improve people's lives in so, so many different areas rather than just the movies that we're focusing on today.
One more final question. What's the future of Hollywood and entertainment?
Well, I think that the very fact that consumers can now get content from a variety of sources means one thing. It means that the quality of content can only improve. And so, for example, if you look at Cinequest is the local independent film festival here in San Jose. We've supported them this year. It really is phenomenal. It means that now I can get independent content, which is fabulous quality without necessarily the big budgets, in the comfort of my home, easily, simply, and very quickly. So I think Hollywood is looking at how can we take advantage of digital technology, how can we embrace the way things have been for the last 100 years, and hopefully how can we embrace the way things need to be to deliver the consumers the best opportunity. I think you'll see Hollywood morph. I think you'll see some people threatened by the model, and I think you're already seeing some of our partners in Hollywood embracing the model, people like Clickstar, for example. And so I think you'll see some tremendous changes in what kind of content, how it gets delivered, and obviously the choices that consumers get. So it's going to be a very, very exciting half a decade in front of us.
We're here with Don McDonald, Vice President, General Manager of Intel's Digital Home Group. Don, thanks for the podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you.